Hey there, I'm Sandy Scarlatta, and welcome to the Happiness Solve podcast. Twice a week, we explore the journey to finding true happiness by sharing inspiring stories, practical tips, and insightful conversations with some of today's leading experts. But we don't just scratch the surface. We dive deep into the real grit of what it takes to live a genuinely happy life. Whether you're looking to improve your well-being, enhance your relationships, or simply add more joy to your life, you're in the right place. So grab your favorite beverage, get comfortable, and let's dive into today's episode. Because happiness is a choice, and the choice is yours.
Jason Burr, such a pleasure to finally meet you. We've communicated for a while now on LinkedIn, and it's just such a pleasure to have you on my show. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's exciting. Before we hit record, I was just once again talking about how this lovely podcast will be coming to an end. It's still going to be out there, but I won't be recording anymore. So you're my second guest that I'm starting to announce this. So thank you to all the listeners. And I'm excited to dive in with Jason because Jason, so you don't go by Dr. Jason Burr, even though you're PhD, you didn't adopt that.
I don't go by Dr. Burr. Some of my clients like to call me Dr. Burr and I don't talk them out of it, but yeah. I just go by Jason.
That's awesome. But yeah, so Jason, I love this. You're all about leading, learning, and loving. You've been a change maker in education, a consultant and catalyst for organizational evolution, and an executive coach and life coach over the course of 30 years. That's incredible. And I love it. You help humans experience more productive, connective, joyful, and authentic lives. And you live on a ranch in Colorado. Lucky you.
Yes, I agree. Lucky me.
Awesome. That's incredible. So tell us about your backstory. How did you get into this and what made you be so passionate about helping people, especially the authentic lives? Because I think that's such a high vibrational word and goal of so many leaders these days.
Yeah. Well, the story goes back a little ways, but I was an entrepreneur in the nonprofit space, and I started a very innovative school almost 25 years ago. And in the process of really trying to do something that hadn't been done in education, I managed, like a lot of leaders, to burn myself out, to really lose perspective. And I just found myself completely out of gas, out of optimism, out of hope, out of ideas. And I vowed that I was going to figure out how never to feel that way ever again, because it felt so bad in my system. And so at that time, that got me on the hunt for support. And that was the first time that I encountered some really amazing coaches who really did change my life. And it opened my eyes. I'd never thought about coaches before. I never thought about being coached before. And my experience was really, really profound. It really changed the direction of my life. And so at that point, I was back doing consulting, which is work I'd done previously. And I just found that I was doing this sort of Trojan horse thing where I would be asked to be the consultant, the answer guy, the problem solver. But what I really wanted to do was share with them this coaching and the insights that I'd gotten from my coaches. And so at some point I said, to be in my integrity, I really just needed to let my clients know that what I was up to was really something different than consulting, and that I was now officially a coach. And so my coaching career has had two very distinct chapters. And the first chapter was really about helping people understand something about our essential nature, something that helps remove all the stress when we understand the nature of thought and what it's like that our state of mind goes up and down, just as a fact of being human, and how that explains so much of our experience of life. And I had a lot of fun coaching from that angle, and my clients really had some pretty significant breakthroughs. And what I saw was that there was a certain way in which people were trying to fix or solve their low moods or their you know, when they were off track, they were trying to fix it. And at some point I saw the futility of that approach, that I didn't think that it was helping people, that for them to think that there was something about this very natural ebb and flow of their state of mind that they then needed to work on or fix. And so just by serendipity, I found an incredible mentor and now colleague, and a gentleman named Joe Hudson. And he has an organization called The Art of Accomplishment. And what I learned from Joe has really changed the way I coach these days. And that authenticity piece is about self-discovery versus self-improvement. I think for so many folks, we're taught in this culture that the idea is we have to keep working on ourselves, and that at some point we'll reap the benefits of all that. And instead, there's this other feeling, other orientation, which is really about just discovering who we really are, discovering our authentic selves. And what I love and what my clients love about this approach is that it's really so much about welcoming all of our emotions, welcoming all of our experience, and not resisting, not trying to fix or change it. And that has really, that creates the space for people to be more of themselves. You know, I've got clients who come to me routinely who say, you know, I want to leave this job. I can't do this anymore. I don't like my boss. I don't like the circumstances. I may have hit the end of the road. And so often when the conversation gets to what's underneath that, then we get to look at, well, what would it be like for you to just show up as yourself at work and find out if it's still a place you want to be? And inviting that sort of authenticity, sometimes my clients find, oh my gosh, I could be myself in this environment that I didn't think there was space for me to do that. And sometimes they find, you know what, I'm showing up more as myself, and this isn't the place that's going to support that. And they end up choosing to find another place to share their gifts.
Wow, incredible. So I just took a lot of little notes here. So we're going to circle back to a few things.
Great.
Okay, so you started out saying that, you know, you were totally burnt out. Been there, done that, never thought I would ever be burnout.
Yeah.
I've been on this path for 35 years. I got all the tools. I got such a toolbox. It's incredible, right? Yeah. You know, nobody's exempt from that. And it's funny because I know in my case, I think I was so focused on the improvement that I wasn't really becoming that self-aware that you need to do. So that's another, we'll get back to that in a minute. But just for the audience, and you know, since you do have your PhD and you've been doing this for so long, why was it that you chose coaching instead of therapy? This is for the audience. You and I both know the answer here, but for the audience, when you are in that situation, why did you choose coaching over a therapist? The traditional route.
Yeah. Just so I understand, you're asking for myself at that.
For yourself.
At that
juncture. Because I want to promote coaching and I think that, you know, so often people think, oh, I need, you know, they think they're broken. Oh, yeah. Do I need to see a therapist? Well, no, like coaching is a way that's going to empower you and not, you know, make you feel that you're broken or whatnot. Not to say that therapy isn't a good thing, but just in the context of this conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, I think my answer at that time is probably different than the answer I would share with you these days. The answer then was, you know, that's what made sense to me. And I, at that time, I think I did have some resistance to therapy and really thought that if I headed into therapy, that it meant that, you know, I was admitting to some fundamental flaw. And so coaching felt more accessible to me. But that's not the answer that feels true to me these days. I feel like there are so many wonderful coaches, and there are also, you know, some really wonderful approaches to therapy.
Absolutely.
And so I, you know, these days I think what I might have done is I might have gotten more curious about what's out there and what are the different types of coaching also that I might have investigated, because as I've now been a coach for 12 years, I've met so many amazing colleagues, and I feel like, oh, I would have loved to have been coached by this person and by this person and by this person. So so I don't think there's a one size fits all. And I do have clients who see me and they also see therapists, and it's mm-hmm. it's very compatible. So
Sure. I've have some of my clients as well that I've actually recommended that they seek a therapist, because when you're dealing with a mental health issue, you do need traditional therapy. I think that's really important. It's for me, there's a line that I won't cross when you're dealing with any sort of mental health, as I'm sure you understand as well. Yeah. But yeah, oh my gosh, today, my goodness. I mean, I remember I got certified in life coaching in 2004, and it seemed like the industry was flooded then. But the great thing now, it's great that there's so many coaches, because it forces people to niche down and really focus on what their specialty is, so that you can seek out a coach that really focuses in on, women who've been divorced and, whatever, right? I mean, it's really great. Yeah.
Yeah. And interestingly, Sandy, when I was first starting out as a coach, I got that advice, pick your niche. It's good marketing sense, it's good professional sense. And, the rebel in me said, no way. And so what I did, I actually did the opposite. And I said, I want to meet with as many different types of clients as possible, both just to hone my craft and to see, like, is there, someone who would show up that I would say, I have no idea how to help you. And that was a really fun experiment for me to run for a number of years, because what I found was there is an element to just being human that we all have in common. And that's the language that's where I meet my clients. Is that humanity. And so, I still think it's great marketing advice to pick your niche, but that wasn't how I went about it.
Yeah, I was very resistant to that as well, because, I want to help everybody, right? But however, having said that, it is good to niche down for sure. All right. Another thing that you brought up in the beginning, you talked about the nature of thought. The nature of thought. Can you dive in a little bit about that? I'm pretty sure I know what you're talking about, but I hadn't heard it phrased in that way. And I was like, ooh, let's dive into that. Nature of thought.
Yeah. Well, thank you. There are two parts to what I want to say about that. There was something very powerful that I encountered from this, the coaches that I consulted when I was really struggling. And the wisdom that they shared with me that really changed my life at that time was understanding that essentially the our thought in the moment creates our reality. And, that may not be news to a lot of listeners, but that was news to me at the time. I really thought I was living in this outside-in world where circumstances were happening to me and I was constantly needing to react to them. And so this just sort of turned that on its head and helped me understand that the quality of my thinking was constantly shifting and changing, and that there were times when it was very contracted and I would be living in that experience and I would see the world through that experience. And there were times when it was very spacious and I would, accordingly experience the world and other people and my circumstances through that more spacious lens. And so when I started to see that, there's this variable, which is really what's going on for me in the moment, I use different words at different times, but how contracted or expanded or spacious, is my experience in this moment. And so that essentially was a linchpin of how I coached for a long time. And then, as I alluded to earlier, what I saw was that I felt like that invited me and other people to say, great, I'm going to try and overcome when I'm in that contracted place and I'm going to fix it. And what I have come to see and with such delight is that there's actually this ninja move, which is what happens when I welcome my experience? What happens when I welcome that contracted experience? What happens when I bring understanding and appreciation to that experience? And so that is really what I would add to this understanding of the nature of thought is what happens when we just welcome the nature of thought instead of, as we're so accustomed to in this culture, great, I understand how thought works. Now I'm going to become really good at managing my state of mind and the nature of thought all the time. And that's my new full-time job is managing thought. And so I would say it's really helpful to understand the nature of thought and really helpful to understand that it's not something we need to manage.
Yeah. I love that. I love that example. And you also kind of weaved in there, you know, people are trying to fix, because you brought that up earlier. And I see that so often. I mean, we see it everywhere. You know, now with weight loss, there's now a shot. People are losing weight. And, you know, all it does is curb your hunger. So they don't eat as much. Wow, isn't that a concept? Stop eating as much and you'll lose weight, right? But people need help with that. And that's perfect. And it's great, because if that's what they need to help them get right back on track, that's great. The thing is, with our mindset, it does take practice. But it's not hard work, right? And people act like, you know, they don't even dive down. They don't even consider the notion that they can see things a different way, because they just know this is the way I am, you know. How do you break through with some of your clients if they have some of that pushback?
Yeah, thanks, Sandy. What I see with my clients is that it's almost always the case that the thing in the way is often an emotion, either an emotion, something we're trying to feel and we don't quite know how to get there, or an emotion we're avoiding, trying not to feel. And so that's the thing at the center of a lot of people's stuckness, challenges, upset. And when we don't curious about what is that emotional experience underneath, then we try and do all sorts of things on the surface to see if we can get a different experience of life. So your example, you know, great, I'm going to take this pill and see if it will solve my problem. And, you know, maybe for some folks, it kind of solved it or it might kick it down the road. But the real question that I am in with my clients is, you know, what's the emotion that you're wanting to feel or that you're avoiding feeling? And when we get to that and we welcome that emotion, we welcome that emotional experience, we get to play with, oh, great, there's resistance. We can welcome that resistance, right? But we get to that place where the resistance is often that tension that's locking things in place. And the welcoming is what's creating the spaciousness. So when you talk about, you know, is it work or is it not work? I would say that an understanding of how it works does all the heavy lifting. And then, you know, we get to welcome emotions on a regular basis. And when we learn, I guess I'd call it the skill of how to welcome any emotion, then solving the emotions is not a big deal. It's the resistance to the emotion that creates the big deal for us, you know? So once we learn how to just welcome experiences and move through them and express them and love them, then we end up having a very different experience with our state of mind and state of being. And it's not always sunshine and rainbows by any means, but we get to find our way back to that authenticity of what is it that I really want. And so that's what I would share with you about that.
I love that. And what people will find after going through that and not spending the time on the resistance, but spending your time on the welcoming, it's so much easier in the end. I mean, that resistance is deadly. I mean, it's like a poison, right? It's kind of like drinking poison, and, you know, and yeah, it's just, it's so bad for you emotionally. And yet that's what most people are used to, and it's comfortable, right? I think that, you know, yeah, just becomes comfortable.
Yeah. And I think the resistance is the thing that doesn't feel good in our systems. Yeah. And I've developed such an appreciation for how we all developed certain patterns that includes resistance, because it was the way that we learned how to make it through really difficult circumstances. It's how we learned to survive the things that felt unsurvivable. Maybe it was as a young child, maybe it was older when you're older, but I really have such deep respect for the forms of resistance that we all have come up with, because I think it's just further evidence of our endless creativity and resourcefulness. And so I'm really happy to get to the point with a client where it's like, great, look at this resistance. This is awesome. This is something that you figured out at some point in your life was really helpful. And let's see if you've outgrown the need for that resistance. That's really the conversation about that.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. I wrote down authenticity. I want to talk about authenticity. I'm going to make a stupid assumption here, but I'm just going to go on the assumption that you probably have more male clients than female. Is that accurate?
That's not accurate.
It's not accurate. Okay. Okay. See,
I framed it.
It's probably ridiculous, but yeah. So in your work, because, you know, most of my clients are athletes at this point. And I actually, most of my clients are women. I have more women clients than male clients. So maybe that's why I was making that stupid assumption. But in any case, do you find it's harder for men to find that authenticity than it is for women?
Well, that's such an interesting question. I don't know that it's harder. I think it's different.
It's different.
So yeah. A lot of the work that I do is about accessing and aligning head, heart, and gut. These are the three decision-making centers. Yeah, the three brains. And, you know, I think that often, well, if I'm to make some generalizations, you know, my high power executive clients, both men and women, they have gotten where they've gotten because they've really relied on their head. And that is wonderful, and I honor that. And the work there is great. Now, how do we bring your heart and your gut into the conversation as well?
Yeah.
And when we do, we find that, you know, decision making is easier, relationships are more enjoyable, life is more enjoyable. I get to follow my enjoyment instead of the tyranny of my head always making the decisions. And so you know, while it may look different for men and women, I'd say it's more kind of situational. Where do people find themselves in life, and what have they relied upon for their success so far? And then great, let's start from there and invite in those other centers.
Yeah, so true. So for the listeners, what advice can you give for people that want to live a more authentic life and don't know where to start? What are maybe some steps that they can take to help them with that?
Yeah. Well, the first thing is I would say that they get to have the life that they want, and that orientation opens up a lot. And from that orientation, there's, I don't know if I'd call it advice, but more an invitation. So the invitation is, what is it like to sit with an emotion, to just be with an emotion? What happens on the other side of being with anger, being with sadness, being with guilt, being with shame is really where the transformation happens. And those can be, given our experience in life, those can be emotions that we really avoid. We really put up the brick wall. I don't want to go there. That looks scary to me. And so finding the opportunity to just be with those emotions, and you know, that's where I help my clients, is what can that look like? But the general invitation is, what would it look like to see and invite any emotion in your life? So that's one. I'd say another is, what are the little experiments that you can run to enjoy your life more? And so often I see that clients who are coming to me, they think that it's only going to be at the end of massive change, and that looks really daunting, that they're going to get the life they want. And so what are the smallest experiments we can run to invite more enjoyment into our life? How can we enjoy what we're doing already 5% more? You know, what does that feel like? What does that look like? And how does that change our experience of anything that we're doing, including things that we don't want to, you know, wouldn't ordinarily want to do? How can I enjoy that just a little bit more, and just inviting that in? So I've got lots more experiments and suggestions and invitations, but that's a good place to start.
Love it. Love it. Jason, this has been such an amazing conversation, and we could keep going on and on and on, but I try to keep my episodes at a certain amount of time. Is there anything else that I haven't brought up that you would like to share with the audience? And feel free to take as long as you'd like.
Well, thank you. There's something that has just been a theme that's been coming up in a number of my client conversations. And oftentimes when I see those themes, I feel like there's something for me to pay attention to. And one of the things I'm seeing is that I help my clients understand more about both emotional fitness and what I call nervous system fitness. And, you know, understanding A, that we have a nervous system, and B, how that nervous system works, is so instrumental in enjoying our lives more. And I think there's this really important distinction that you and I have been touching on throughout this conversation, which is that to use what is, you know, these days called nervous system regulation as a tool to avoid feeling things is always an option, but not the option that I think really leads to transformation. And so what I love being in the conversation with my clients about is, what does it mean to really connect deeply with yourself? So when we connect more deeply with ourselves, we can't help but connect more deeply with those in our lives. And connecting deeply with ourselves, we're barraged with messages in this culture of, here's the way to change it, fix it, avoid it, overcome it. You know, even, you know, colleagues that I love and respect who are in what they call emotional intelligence, it's so much about equipping people not to face the thing, not to understand, not to sit with, be with, and welcome those deeper strains of feeling. And so that connecting more deeply with ourselves is that connecting more deeply with our head, and what does our head have to share with us? Connecting more deeply with our heart, and what do our emotions have to say to us? And connecting more deeply with our gut, and what does our intuition and our nervous system and our body have to say to us? And so the more practice we give ourselves in just listening to ourselves, the wisdom of our own head, heart, and gut, then the more this becomes just a lifestyle of living authentically and consulting our own wisdom for answers, rather than having to outsource that to someone else or something else.
Beautifully said, Jason. I love that. Because, yeah, the answers are always within us. Always within us. Yeah. Fantastic. So your website is blue.coaching.org. And is there any other place that people can find you? I know LinkedIn. as well.
Yeah, LinkedIn. And also, I am part of the team at Art of Accomplishment, and I would love to direct people there as well, artofaccomplishment.com. My colleagues there just have a brilliant podcast that I would encourage people to check out, that in addition to your podcast. It's a wonderful resource. And they also have some online courses that I highly recommend as well.
Art of Accomplishment. I love the name. Love the name. That's incredible. I'll have to check that out myself. Yeah, and I'll make sure that's in the show notes as well. So Jason, thank you so much for joining me today. And everyone, thank you for listening. And I hope that you and your family are happy and healthy, and that your lives are filled with lots of peace, joy, and authenticity. Take care, everyone.